Let's go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. This is just where we're starting. We'll end up somewhere else. Again, I apologize for the sinus attack. But you know what? Life goes on and you got to do what you got to do and you got to somehow rely on the Lord to get through. So, Romans chapter 5. And let's start with verse 6, actually. It says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today. We ask your forgiveness where we failed you. We ask you to strengthen us and help us to serve you and to follow your will in all things. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very self-conscious when you're up here having to do this. This is like you're in front of everybody and having to. It's a mess. So, again, I apologize. Thank you all for putting up with it. Mankind owes a debt he can never pay. I'm talking about mankind without God. Okay? Had nothing been done, mankind owes a debt he could never pay. And here's why. It's one thing to offend my neighbor. I mean, it's one thing to run over his flowers with my lawnmower. Which I wouldn't do because I don't mow the lawn, but you know what I mean. You can pay for that. You can pay for the flowers, and you can apologize, and sometimes that might make good. But when we sin, it's more severe than that. We have then offended and gone against, rebelled against an eternal God, indeed our very Creator. That is more severe. And that penalty is death. But it's not the kind of death that we think of when you violate, you know, when you kill somebody, don't. But when somebody does and they get the electric chair or the gas chamber, that's the end of the punishment, at least here on earth. But when we're talking about death owed to God, we're talking about death owed to an eternal being. We're talking about eternal death. Being separated from God forever. Being sent away from the presence of forever. A debt that would never be paid. You know, when people would owe money back in the day, they would be sent to debtor's prison, where they would supposedly somehow have a way to maybe, hopefully, work it off and be released once everything was paid. However, the debt we owe God can never be paid in full by a non-eternal, sinful human being. That is why it was so important that the eternal God stepped out of eternity, wrapped himself in human flesh, and came down here to live a perfect life as a man and die for us, to pay the price that we could never pay. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." First thing I think we really need to see when we look today at the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ is the simple fact that in order for somebody to substitute for you, you have to have done something wrong. You have to be guilty. In a court of law, there's no reason for somebody to substitute for you if you haven't done anything wrong. I tell you something else that has to happen in a court of law when you're substituting for somebody, and I'll tell you what it is. They have to be innocent. The person who is substituting has to be innocent. If I am going to substitute and pay somebody's penalty, I have to be innocent of the thing I'm paying the penalty for. Otherwise, I'm just paying my own penalty. Jesus came down here. And he is the only human being that has ever lived 100% sinless life. Sin free. Completely perfect. Therefore, he could then substitute for us. Now, Jesus lived a completely righteous life. And sometimes we don't remember something as the substitution is a two-way thing. When Jesus substituted for us, it is not just that he paid our penalty. And some people say, "Well, I thought that's all there was to it." No, that is not all there is to it. Because if that's all there was to it, we'd be in trouble. Because guess what? I'm going to mess up again. No, the substitution that Jesus did for us is a two-way street. Jesus lived a perfect life for us and died for us and rose again for us. But the perfect life, let me tell you what that does. Jesus was innocent. Bible says that God put on Jesus the sin that he didn't know. Because he was innocent, he had our sin on him. So when God the Father looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw my sin. He saw your sin. So that now, when God the Father looks at the believer in Christ, he sees the righteousness of Christ in me. It's like I got a transplant. My bad heart was taken out and put on Christ. The new heart was taken from Christ and put in me. I get his righteousness. He got my sin. And the more you think about that, the more you think, I am not doing near enough for him. So many times today we see a world who constantly asks, what's in it for me? I mean, it was the Father's will. Jesus knew that. Jesus did that. And I think he did it out of love for us. But what was in it for him was my sin. What was in it for him was death, that I should have died. But what was in it for me? If I trust him, I get his righteousness put to my account. My bill is completely paid as far as sin goes. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means nobody is innocent. The only one who ever walked the earth sin free is, again, I said, Jesus. That's it. Now there is a couple people who God took and didn't allow death to touch. Elijah was one of them. I can't think of the other one. But I'm pretty sure there were two. Jesus' death touched, but he rose from the dead and then he ascended. But for everybody else, we have to deal with it. I don't know where I was going with that. I had something I was going to do. I don't know what it was. But I'll go back to my original thought. We are all guilty. The only one that... Oh, I know what I was going to be. Yeah, they escaped death, but it wasn't because they were sinless. It's because they were close to God, but it wasn't because they were sinless. Only one man was sinless, and he did die. For you and for me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If all have sinned and Jesus died for the sin of man, that means that you were the reason that Jesus had to die. That means that I was the reason that Jesus had to die. And I think we need to make that personal. I think that's important that we make that personal. I am the reason that Jesus had to die. It's my fault. It's my fault. How can I say it's my fault? I wasn't even alive that I'm benefiting from it. It's my fault. It's important that we realize our guilt and his innocence. Then we can look at our pain. Sorry. His pain and our benefit. But first, we have to get our guilt and his innocence. He got our guilt. we get his innocence. And there's no way that I can explain that in a way that we will fully grasp that. There's no way. Or if there is, I don't have it yet. But I'm telling you, that's important. He got my guilt. I got his innocence. You know how the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one? God calls me righteous now. Not because I'm, no. Not because I hadn't messed up today, because I'm sure I have. It's because Jesus took my guilt and put on me his innocence. So now let's look at his pain and our benefit. There's a story that was told. It's one of those that I'm telling for the information. No. The illustration, not the truth value, because I don't know that this is a true story, but it makes a good illustration. Story is told of a teacher. I'm not sure whether it was college or high school, but it was a teacher. Maybe a coach who had a class and said, you know, guys, we're gonna have donuts one day in class. Everybody's going to get a donut. And if you want one, you can have a donut. But what he did was he got with the top athlete of the school and says, hey, I'm going to give away 30 donuts. Can you do 300 push-ups? 10 for every donut. Yeah, sure. I can do that. It's no problem. All right. So the guy gets in front of the class. Says, all right. Who wants a donut? Jim, first seat, first row. Do you want a donut? Yeah, I'd love a donut. All right, Joe, do 10 push-ups for Jim. He wants a donut. No. I don't want it. I don't want it if he's got to do push-ups. I didn't know that was part of the deal. Well, that's all right. He's going to do them anyway. Well, I don't want it. Okay, Jim, do 10 push-ups Joe, do 10 push-ups for Jim. Next person, do you want a donut? I guess I'll take a donut. All right, do 10 push-ups for, okay. And, you know, went down the line and some would take them and some wouldn't. But still, Joe had to do the push-ups for the donuts. And every once in a while, somebody pop their head in class. Hey, you want a donut? Yeah, I'd love a donut. All right, can you do 10 push-ups for this guy over here? Oh, sure. Yeah, I can do that. And some would take the donuts and some would not, but Joe would always have to do the push-ups. Now, the point of this is this. Joe did the work. The kids got the benefit. But even when the kids did not partake, Joe still had to do the work. The sacrificial death of Jesus is such. Not a drop of blood was wasted. But there's enough power in Jesus' death to go around if everybody repented and trusted. Not everybody will. But Jesus still paid the price for everybody. Whether they wanted it or not. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Some of these, I'll have you turn there. Some of these, because of time, I won't. But let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 4. And starting with verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Jesus paid for our freedom. He paid our price. Not only did he buy for us righteousness, which is far more than I could ask, he bought, in a sense, he bought us into the family. He bought us into the family. I'm adopted by a king, by the creator of the universe. He has adopted me. And all I had to do, well, I had to do nothing. Because he did everything that had to be done, but I did have to trust him. I did have to turn to him. I did have to turn away from my sin and turn to him. Which basically means, what, you ask for forgiveness? And you give him your life. What do I have to do? There's nothing I can do. What if I mess up? He's paid the price. He's already done everything that needs to be done. And if I... See, I want to say opt in, but that sounds so loose. You see people going, if you want to be saved, raise your hand now. It just don't seem right to me for some reason. I hope for the other people's sake that went through that, that worked. But I just, you know, it just gives me creeps. But I tell you this, God knows the heart of everybody. And if somebody that did that truly repented or trusted Christ, then guess what? We'll see him in heaven. But I want to tell you something. I have to make a personal decision. It's not a group decision. It's a personal decision to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins because of what he did on the cross, because he rose from the dead for me. I trust him. And he saves me. And he finishes the adoption paperwork, so to speak. It's not really paperwork, but you know what I mean. I am adopted then by the creator of the universe. You know what the law was for? God gave the law. He says, Moses, come on up. I'm going to show you some things you need to know. Moses comes up to Mount Sinai and God writes. The first time God did it, if I remember correctly, with his own finger wrote the Ten Commandments or whatever, you know, it was that he wrote there. And you see that in Exodus 20, these commandments. Now, when Moses dropped those, God said, okay, I'm gonna tell you to him again, but you can do it this time. But you know those laws, and if you even just go to the 10, just look at those 10. Every time you're gonna say, "Oh, there's one I've broken." Every single time. There is not a man on the face of the planet that is old enough to understand what I'm saying
that can say, oh, I'm innocent of all of those, and honestly be true.
You know why? Because God wanted to show that we couldn't do it. He wanted to show that we could not keep the law. That's the whole reason the law was given. Now, mind you, the law, there's good stuff in there. It's true stuff. It's God's true, correct standard. But it was given to us to show us that we failed. I want to read to you out of Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1, Paul writes to the Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were dead to God. Our sins made us dead to Him. Might as well have been a carcass. But verse 4 says, God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And He goes on. But what I wanted to show us was that we were dead. We were sinners. Jesus died and rose from the dead because God, for whatever reason, loves us. He loves us by name. He loves us as individuals. Each and every person is special to God. And He wants each and every person to be safe. And those who trust Jesus are saved. And we need to, as we go through our lives, and especially today, examine ourselves to make sure we're living the life that is, it can't be worthy, but it can be constantly reminding ourselves that He died for us and constantly trying to serve Him in light of the fact that He paid a price we could never repay. Notice I said we could never repay. See, it was already paid. He paid it. But let us not think that we can earn it back. We can't. Now it's not a matter of paying it back. It's not a matter of repaying him. It's just simply a matter of living because we love him, because he loved us first. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked him to forgive you of your sin, to save your soul, to be your Lord, to run things for you, it's not too late. It's not. Because here we are again with the time that I'm going to go down there in a minute and we're going to have a little invitation played and you have another chance to walk the aisle. If you need to accept Christ, now's definitely the time because it may be the only time you get. If you've already accepted Christ and you want to follow him in baptism, which isn't for salvation, but it is a thing that God wants us to do after we're saved. If you want to do that, it's time to come down and we'll, you know, take it before the church and then we end up making plans and getting it all set up and do that. If you need to rededicate your life, say, hey, I gave my life to Christ a long time ago, but I've just let things slide and I shouldn't let things slide and I want to give it back to him. Well, it's time for that too. If you just have somebody you want to pray for, and God knows there's enough people to pray for nowadays, well, the altar's open for that too.